you don't mind, I'm going to pray one more time, and we're going to just jump in. Y'all pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to gather this morning. Thank you for a chance to open your word, to be reminded of who you are and who we are, that you are God, and that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. May we believe that to be true. May we live out the truth in your word and not believe that our way and what we want and what we desire could be anything better than what you have for our life. We love you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would teach us this morning through me. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, as you can tell on the screen, if you've not been here for the last 2 weeks, we are still talking about sex. We have been going through a series on sex, and today is the last day. So you don't have to hear me say the word sex after this day, at least as many times as we have. So to remind you where we've been going the last few weeks is we've just been talking about how our culture has been teaching us all of these crazy, mixed up, messed up messages about sex that are completely opposite of what God has been teaching us. To show you that, I want to take you back to when I was 11. Who is 11 in here? Who's 11 years old? Some sixth graders? Oh, okay. Yeah, who was 11? Raise your hand if you've ever been 11. That's most of the room. All right, when I was 11 years old, Christmas came, and you guys remember Christmas at 11. You want what's popular, you want what's there, and so judge me if you want, but when I was 11, this CD was one of the hottest on the market. This was Britney Spears, Baby One More Time. So let me just put it in context. That's like all of you guys liking Taylor Swift. I know she looks like she's like way throwback, and she is. I still stand by her. So this is like the one thing that I wanted for Christmas was Britney Spears' album. So look at, she's just so sweet and lovely, and let's just sing some songs. She's just getting into her career. She's starting to hit the charts, and she's doing a great job. And everybody wanted the CD. At least I did. I don't know if everybody did. And so this is when I was 11. This next CD came out, I don't know, 12 to 15 years later. This is her latest release, and this is what Britney Spears looks like. There's a big difference. Everybody saw it where you could just go, oh, man, that was different. So go back to the other one. Innocent young Britney Spears. And then Britney Spears after she's been singing and in the industry for so long. Here's what I want you to see. If it's not already obvious, y'all stay with me, all right? Here's what I want you to see. She has bought into the lies that the culture is telling you. And now she not only believes it, she is teaching it to people. She buys the lies that I've got to look a certain way. She buys the lies that I have to look in a way that maybe would sell CDs more. I've got to dance a certain way. I've got to dress a certain way. I've got to play with my hair a certain way. She has believed these lies and is now selling these lies. And that's just over 10 years. And if she's somebody in it, we're the ones that are listening to what the culture's saying. And so how are we being influenced by it? To give you maybe some more current examples, I don't have pictures, but you can picture them. Britney Spears, she came in as just this young, innocent girl that even grew up in the church, grew up sitting in similar churches like you are, hopefully hearing the truth of God's word taught to her, but yet 10, 15, 20 years down the road, we can see what has happened to her life. And we go, man, that's crazy, but the same could happen to us. We could leave this room and these walls, and we could be just as influenced. Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber was this cute little 14-year-old kid with the swoop. Who's got some Justin swoop in here? Anybody still got it? Ryan, you kind of, a little bit? Okay. Justin Bieber was this, you guys remember him. He's this precious little kid. Baby, baby, baby. He's just like, oh, chill out. He's this tiny, hold on, he's this little guy just like you guys trying to make it in the world, and then we see 5 years later, he's completely different. Not just his looks, but his actions and where he goes to find life and the things that he's getting in trouble with, he's been influenced by the culture. Katy Perry, okay? I don't know if you know this, but Katy Perry's dad, y'all stay with me, Katy Perry's dad was a pastor. Katy Perry not only grew up in the church, but grew up in a believing family of a man who was trying to teach the scriptures. And she was so influenced by the culture, you can see by the way that she conducts herself and the way that her music presents herself, she's bought the lies. Another one that you may not know or remember is a girl by the name of Jessica Simpson. Maybe some of you ladies have bought her shoes at Marshall's or Payless or something. But Jessica Simpson grew up just down the street from us. She grew up in Richardson at a church in town that's a great church called Heights Baptist Church. She was involved. Her family was involved. And then she went off and bought the lies of the world. And guys and girls, I want to tell you right now, just because you're coming to church does not mean that you're immune from believing the culture out there. All of those people I just named, I don't know if they have a relationship with Jesus or not. Only God knows that. But I know that many of them grew up in a similar setting to where you are. And so I want to challenge you guys this morning to be diligent, to take this seriously. What are we supposed to do? To remind you of what we've been going through the last few weeks. The first week, we looked at what is sex? God created sex. It's a beautiful thing. And what did he intend and why did he create it? And then last week, we looked at what happened. Sin happened. And all of these lies that we believe and how our world has completely changed how God intended sex to be. And it changes our view of it too. And so today we're going to look at what am I supposed to do as a junior high guy or a junior high girl living in this culture and living in this world, what am I supposed to do? So I hope that you've got notes. I hope if you don't, you pull out your phone and you take some notes. I'm going to give you guys a lot of scripture this morning because that's the only thing that we can base this on. All right, so some of them we're going to speed through. Some of them we'll sit on, but I want you to just write them down and you guys engage with them. All right, so today, we're going to continue to look at it and just look at why it is worth believing God's best for you and not just thinking that you should take it into your own hands. As I've been studying through this whole series, I've been trying to just look at the headlines, what's going on in the news and what our culture is being influenced by and what's happening in your generation. And I don't know if you've heard this. But there was something that came out, and maybe you've read it. There was a girl. Did you hear about this girl who died because she never had sex? Did you hear about her? No, because it didn't happen. All right? But yet, when you're in your shoes or you continue into high school, we just go, hey, preacher man, you don't get it. I'm about to explode inside. These desires are here. I've got to go somewhere. And that's an excuse because you don't want to have self-control and because you want what you want and you desire it now and you want to just go for it. I'm telling you, just to start off right now, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. You're not going to die because you believe God's best about the sex thing. I mean, you could die. But it may feel like at some points when temptation is strong and it's really hard, you just go, man, I can't take it. I can't handle it. And I want to tell you again, I get it. I've been there. And so have your leaders. And so are many of your leaders still. And so am I. Temptation doesn't go away. But I want to tell you, it is worth it. So number one, what am I supposed to do as a junior high kid? You got to know your Bible and know your standards. Over the last 2 weeks and this week, we've given you a lot of scripture. The culture is going to continue to change what they tell you, what you should believe, but we need to look at what God's word says as it stood the test of time on how God asks us to live our life. So what does God's word say? We went through these the first week. I'm going to put them up on the screen again so that you can get those scriptures specifically. It says God created sex for marriage. We see that Jesus quoting it in Matthew 19. God created sex to be between a man and a woman. We see that in Genesis 20, 20 through 24. God created sex for intimacy, Genesis 2, 24. God created sex for reproduction, Genesis 1. And then God created sex to teach us about Christ and the church. This is, again, review. We've gone through this, but these are scriptures I want you to be equipped with so that you know what God's word says It's not so that you just go, oh, I believe it because it says that, so that you can wrestle with the scripture and wrestle with the Lord. I can tell you all day, your parents can tell you all day, your leaders can tell you all day what to believe, but you have to believe it. You get to decide if you want to or not. And some of you guys in a room this big are going to go, nah, all this mumbo jumbo you're talking about, I know my ways better. And I'll tell you right now, you may not experience it for a long time, but there is a lot of pain coming. And you may not experience it until the day that you die and you're face to face with God. And he says, hey, did you know me? Did you know that I love you? So I want you guys to know now, today's the day that you could come face to face with the Creator God and realize God is good and he does love you and he wants his best for you. So you got to know what the Bible says, and then you got to know your standards. We'll dive into that in a second. But again, the lies that we believe are everywhere. And the ones we looked at last week are this. Lie number one is, if we can throw those on the screen, we've got the lies in the scriptures, specifically the scriptures I'd love for you to write down. Sex is just limited to going all the way. Sex can serve whatever purpose I choose. Remember, these are lies, not truth. The scripture is the truth that backs those up. It's my body. I can do whatever I want. Sex leads to love. It'll make me feel something. And then sex can be safe. All of these are some of, not all of, the lies that we believe. And so you need to know what the Bible says, and then you need to know your standards. Because the standards of our culture are completely opposite of what God's word says. And so many of you and many of us are going to be tempted to want to fit in, to want to look like everybody else, to want to have good friends, to not want to be that weird kid. And so we're tempted to shift our standards. If you don't know what you believe, then you're going to just change them like that when the opportunity comes. But I want to challenge you guys and girls to stand up for what you believe in, to stand firm on truth, because it's not just something that you have to prove and you have to live up, but that God will give you the strength to do in and through you. So you got to know what you believe. And one of the big ways to do that is you got to know your boundaries. Personally, just as a person, what is it that you're just going, not what's the line so I can get as far close to it as I can, but what is God's standard of holiness and purity and righteousness, and how do I run from everything else and run as fast as I can to God and what he has for me? So you got to define your boundaries. And once you do that, that leads us to number two. You got to let your standards be known to others. You got to know what the scripture says, and then you got to wrestle with, what do I believe? What do I really adhere to be true? And then don't just go, all right, I got it. I'm good. Let's go into the world. You got to let people know that so they can hold you accountable. We talked about this in January, going through that series about authenticity and accountability and strengthening and encouraging one another. We can't really help each other if we don't know what we need help with. And so let your boundaries be told to people. Hey, I want to keep my eyes pure. Hey, I want to, ladies, I want to honor myself and my family and my God through the way that I dress. You want to know what it is that the standard of holiness and purity is and how the people in your life can hold you to that. And so a lot of times we think that we're just good because we have it. But if we don't tell anybody, we can a lot easier cross those boundaries. And so it's worth having other people come around us so that they can help us go through. So this is personal boundaries, but you guys may at some point get into a dating relationship. We're going to talk some more about dating here in a little bit. But you at some point might want to begin a relationship with another guy if you're a girl, or another girl if you're a guy. And it is also incredibly important that you know your boundaries there. I'm telling you that now because that day may come, will probably come. And if you don't have that conversation on the front end, even as a young kid, it is going to be so easy for temptation to just take you into all kinds of places. Make that decision now before you're ever in the temptation, so that you know what you're going to do and the people can hold you to it. Another note on that is I want to ask you guys, because God's word asks you, honor your parents. Oh, come on, man. Seriously?
Yes.
Your parents love you. Your parents, most of them, want what's best for you. And the scripture calls us as young men and young women to honor our father and mother and what they have to say. And so some of you, that means they're asking you, hey, don't date. And you're like, you're crazy. I'm this kid at school. Everyone else is dating. That's not true. I know it feels that way. But your parents are putting that boundary on you for a purpose because they love you. And so honor that and honor them. And in doing so, honor the Lord. So you got to know your Bible. You got to know your standards. You got to make your standards known to others. Another way of doing that, this may not be for everybody, but I want to give you an idea. It's a thing called a purity ring. Has anybody heard of this before? A purity ring. What that means is, so I'll give you an example. I'm married. Okay? As a married man, I wear a ring. Is this ring going to keep me from not getting angry at my wife? No. Is this ring going to keep me from even just running to divorce like over 50% of the marriages in our country? No. It is a reminder to me of who I am pledged to in a covenant relationship. And then it's a symbol to everybody else of, hey, I'm taken. I am somebody's. And so a purity ring is not the end all. It's not the most religious and spiritual thing you can do, but it's something that you can wear as a reminder of, hey, I'm somebody's. I am bought with a price. I belong to Jesus Christ and to my spouse someday. So a purity ring's not going to keep you from going to looking at stuff on the internet. Purity ring's not going to keep you out of compromising situations if you're in a dating relationship, but it's a reminder to you and to the world of whose you are. So if that interests you, I'd encourage you to have a conversation with your parents. Some good organizations that do that are True Love Waits. Another one's called The Silver Ring Thing. And then another one called Pure Excitement. To give you a scripture where this talks about is Matthew 5. Again, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. We are a representative of Jesus Christ. And in all that we do, even when no one's looking, we should honor him. Number three, flee any and all sexual immorality. We touched on this last week and we talked some, but it is worth doing it again. What am I supposed to do as a junior high student in this crazy culture? Scripture says you should run from anything that is tempting you towards sexual immorality. Let me define sexual immorality again. We defined it last week as this. Sexual immorality is anything, action, or thought that leads you into sin. Action or thought. Anything that causes your mind or your body to head into sin is sexual immorality. I've also heard it defined this way, and I think it's helpful. Sexual immorality is the pursuit of sexual pleasure outside of marriage. Remember that we said that God intended and created sex to be for marriage, to be a man and a woman. When we seek that pleasure that God created and is good, but when we seek that on our terms, when we want it, because we want it, that's sexual immorality. And the scripture says this, Ephesians 5:3, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not because if you do it, you're screwing up God's image and you're bad and you're unlovable. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you're set free. You are no longer a sinner. You are no longer somebody that is enslaved to sin. You are a sinner. That is wrong for me to say. You are a sinner, but you are a sinner redeemed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And when we operate in our sin, we don't fully believe the gospel because we don't have to anymore. We're going to be tempted and we may stumble and we may fall. But when we continually give ourselves to sin, we're running back to the chains that used to enslave us. A quick note on temptation. Temptation is everywhere. Temptation is not sin. Do you guys hear me on that? Because you are tempted does not mean you sin. But what you do with that temptation very well could be sin. What I mean by that is when something comes at you, thought, action, situation, and you're in a place where you go, man, that sounds like it might be fun. Ooh, that sounds like it'd be cool. Man, I've tried that before. Why not again? Just to have the temptation is not sin. But if you go towards that, that's sin. But Scripture says to flee sexual immorality, to not have a hint of it. And so if you run from that, you have not sinned. Temptation is everywhere. What we do with it matters. Some other scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. Why is this scripture in here when we're talking about what I'm supposed to do? Well, many of us are tempted in different ways. And just because you aren't doesn't mean that somebody is. Yeah, that's right. And so I've said this before. There are people in this room who, on this topic of sex and this kind of temptation, it's not a temptation for you. And again, that is God's blessing. That is unbelievable. And I hope that it continues not to be a struggle for you. But for many in this room, it either is or very well will be. And so certain things that might be appropriate for you may not be appropriate for someone else. And while we're on that topic, I want to specifically address the ladies. I have a wife who loves fashion. In here, ladies, you guys like to just dress well. And like for other people, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's not sin, okay? I know, though, that among ladies, you guys want to look all cutesy and cutesish. I don't know the word, but you want to look cute for one another. And you want to try and impress other girls, maybe not the guys, but in so doing, I want to let you know right now that ladies, short skirts, short shorts, revealing things, revealing tops, you need to understand that that can very much be a temptation for guys, and you have no idea that it is. And so I'm telling you now, you are not without excuse. Now, with that, I'm not telling you that you're the problem. You are not the problem. Sin is the problem, and it is just as much on the guys to guard our eyes, to avert our eyes, as it is for you to help just dress modestly. You can dress very appropriately and still look super cute and fashionable. I promise. If you don't believe me, come talk to my wife, and she would love to update your wardrobe at your cost, not mine. But... ladies, help your brothers in Christ, and don't lead them more to stumble. With that, gentlemen, that's not a lady's problem. That's something they can do to help us. This is something, lust is something that guys and girls struggle with. It's not just a guy's struggle. But guys, and me one of them, it can be very much a struggle. So what does Scripture say? Job 31:1, it says this, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Not, hey, I'm not going to look at porn. Not, hey, I'll just get a couple lingering glances. It says, I've made a covenant not to look lustfully. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not just don't commit adultery. But anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. Gentlemen, the glances and what we see with our eyes, whether that's an image somewhere or someone in real life, God calls that sin. And he takes it seriously. That is the way that we can love our sisters in Christ, to treat them as valued children of God and not just something that God created for us to feast in the flesh. I know that's harsh, but it's good for us to know. What else does Scripture say? Genesis 39:11-12. One day, Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties. He's just doing his normal thing, and none of the household servants were inside. And he's there with Potiphar's wife, and she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. This is not something that Joseph went into for temptation. Joseph just happens to be there. Joseph happens to be faithfully serving, and a woman comes and tempts him towards sin. You know how easy it would have been for Joseph to go, who's going to know? Potiphar's gone. Nobody's here. Why not? And maybe you've been in a similar situation. Maybe not with a physical person, but maybe with your thoughts. Maybe the way you just want to conduct yourself and just blur the lines a little bit, because why not? Who's going to know? Did you see what Joseph does? He flees sexual immorality. He goes, no, woman, la! And he gets out of the jacket. She grabs it and he goes, and gets out of there as fast as he can. He doesn't even, guys, he doesn't even stop and go, whoa, you crazy? He doesn't even have a conversation. He's gone because he knows that he is just as capable of sinning in that moment. Joseph's just like us. He's not a superhero that we go, man, Joseph, he's like the Superman of the Bible. No, he's a dude. He's human. But he knew his standards and what God called him to, and he said, no, I'm going to honor my king and not just go to what I want, even when somebody is wanting that from me. Flee sexual immorality. I'm going to show you a verse that says the same thing. It says, we looked at this last week, but again, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, flee sexual immorality, just as Joseph did. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that your sin crushed our Savior on the cross. Yours and mine, not just sexual, any sin. Whatever it is that you struggle with, whatever it is, just a tiny little thing, a white lie, your sin caused Jesus to bleed and die because he loved you so much to buy you back, to reconcile you to a loving God so that you don't have to pay the penalty that you deserve, but so that you could enjoy freedom and relationship with God. Verse 20 right there, it says, you were bought with a price. And it begins and it says, flee sexual immorality. You're not your own. But many times we forget. Oh, that was 2,000 years ago. Ah, grace abounds. Yes, it does. And grace is good. But we also are set free and we can walk in that grace knowing that we don't have to sin anymore. Flee sexual immorality, any and all of it. I hope you see clearly the scripture calls us to that. Number four, wait on relationships till you're ready. Who in here is ready to get married right now? You guys can try and be funny all day. Okay, leaders, thank you. Jermaine's like first hand up. If you want any takers, I can help you get his number. We've got one getting married here in 3 weeks.
20 days.
20 days, some leaders getting married. There's another leader, Paul Brantmeyer, who's getting married. We have a guy on our tech team who just got engaged last night. Exciting stuff. So again, guys, this is not just students, but all of us as adults in the room too. This is God's call in our lives. All right. So I want to ask you guys, and I think, it is in wisdom that the scripture calls us to this, but wait on relationships until you're ready. Okay. The purpose of dating, is it to get Valentine's on Valentine's Day? Is the purpose of dating so that, ladies, you can get like a free dinner or some cool presents on your anniversary? Hey, is the purpose of dating so that you can just feel better about yourself? Is the purpose of dating so that you can just be validated that somebody loves you because you don't even know if you like yourself? No is the answer to all of those. The purpose of dating is to pursue marriage. Scripture doesn't talk about dating. We talked about that last year. Scripture does not say the word dating, but it does talk about courtship. It does talk about pursuit. It does talk about respecting one another. And guys, I want to tell you right now, regardless of what you believe or even what the culture believes or some of our parents believe different things, I will tell you that dating right now is playing with fire. And there are great ways to do it. There are wise ways to do it. And dating is not just this unbelievable sin. Dating isn't a sin. But at your age and the time in between you maybe being married, it may not be wise. Where do I see this? Song of Solomon 2:7 and some of these others. It says, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. You might be going, well, man, shoot, I'm telling you, it's desiring now. I think that scripture's there is not just go, hey, when you're ready, man, you go take that step. That is a lie of our culture. What that is saying is when you start to awaken and arouse those loves and those feelings and pursue sexuality with one another, it's going to lead you down a whole different road that God intended for marriage, and so wait. It's just so important that it says this 8 times in Song of Solomon. Wait. Because, guys, those emotions get heavy. Those emotions can be confusing. Dating is not a bad thing. But I want to just caution you guys, it might be worth just waiting and enjoying time with your friends, enjoying just figuring out who you are and not think that you need somebody else to validate who you are. I know it's tempting and it might be a great thing. I want to just challenge you guys, have conversations about it and don't just go, nah, this is good for me. Talk to your parents. Talk to them openly about what you think and what they think. Wait on relationships till you're ready. Number 5, accept God's grace and ask for help. Some of you, or even many of you in this room, we're talking about boundaries and we're talking about these things and we're talking about God's best and you're going, hey, dude, you're not raising your hand, but in your heart, you're just going, man, I've been there. I've been way down that road. And I want to tell you right now, God loves you. And so do I. So do we. We're not looking at you ashamed. We're not looking at you in disgust. If that's you, you need to know that that's why Jesus died. You're a sinner just like me. You're not called to be perfect. He was, and so you don't have to be. But I want to tell you right now, you know the truth today. And God is going to call you to be accountable to that truth. And so today, you can continue to walk in God's grace and know that you are loved. And ask for help. If you're in the middle of an addiction, could be to anything, not even just something related to sex. Could be pornography, could be an eating disorder, could be all kinds of stuff. It is gross, the things that we try to find life in, but I do it too. If that's you, please come seek us. We want to help you experience the freedom of God's grace. If you're in a relationship with a guy or a girl, in any kind of relationship, whether that's even in a same-sex attraction, please let us know. We want to walk with you. You don't have to do this alone. So accept God's grace. Know that you are loved and know that you can walk in freedom. And finally, number 6 is prepare for your future role. Right now, you're in junior high. Someday, you will be an adult. Someday, you will be a man or a woman. I pray that you will be a man of God and a woman of God. And a part of your story might be marriage. A part of your story might be singleness forever. And whatever that role is, I pray that you right now, today, run to Jesus and not just think, oh, when I'm married or when I get out of college, then I'll start taking it seriously. No, today is the day that you decide, what's God's word say? What are my standards? How do I let people know? How do I flee sexual immorality? Forgot number 4. It's somewhere. How do I accept God's grace? And in doing so, you are already preparing to be a man or a woman of God. Ephesians, it says this, Ephesians 5, 24 and 25. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Raise your hand in here if you're married. Okay. Those people, keep your hands up. Y'all look around. Those people who are married now didn't just start when they were engaged. Raise your hand if you're engaged. Keep them up if you're married. Raise your hand if you're engaged. You're betrothed. You're married. Okay, that's not to make people feel bad. But all these people in here, their marriage, whether the good things or the very painful and hard things, started right where you sit. And so I want to call you men. Prepare now for the man that you're going to be. Ladies, prepare now for the woman that you will be, maybe a spouse. Or maybe just a woman who glorifies her king in whatever God puts in your way. In this crazy culture, it is very, very hard to run from sexual immorality, to flee sexual immorality, unless you're running to Jesus. That sounds like it might be just a cute little trite saying, and oh yeah, okay, that sounds good when I'm in church, but wait till I get there. I guarantee you, if you live out what the writer of Hebrews says, that we just look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we throw off everything else that hinders us, you will be set free as you walk in the freedom that God gives you. It's hard to flee sexual immorality on our own strength unless we run to Jesus. So what are you to do? Pursue the Lord with everything you are and let us help you along the way. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you again for a chance to open your word, and I thank you for the students in this room that they're either here because they want to or their parents have forced them to, whatever it is, I thank you that they're here and that today we are without excuse, Lord, of what you call us to. And so, Lord, if we're already running with you, we're linking arms with other people, may we be encouraged and strengthened to continue the race set before us. If we're sitting in here and we have never come to surrender to our Savior, I pray that this would be the day for someone in this room. And Lord, I pray for those that are just like all of us, like me, like the leaders wrestling with the temptations of this world. I pray that we will flee sexual immorality, that we will not even have a hint of it in our lives, that we will honor you with our bodies, and we will give you glory in everything that we do, thought or action. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.